action. Alright, hi guys, this is Christian Nash introing our third episode of the After Hours, the official Open Sign Productions podcast. And I'm here with...
J.R. Storch.
Austin Gray.
Michael Storch.
Alright, we're coming to you live from Horror Hound. Now we are actually outside in the courtyard at Marriott, so if you hear a little bit of wind and noise in the background, apologies.
It is gorgeous. There's an awesome fountain out here.
It's quite pretty. Yeah.
We did a sound check, and to us it didn't sound too bad, so unless, you know, strong gust of wind comes by, I think we should be good as far as our voices go.
Yeah.
But yep, so we are here. I'm going to kind of let the guys talk here about... what we're doing here at Horror Hound. So, Michael, or Jeremy, or whoever wants to go first?
Michael, for those who don't recognize my voice yet, we are at Horror Hound to be promoting all the projects we've basically been working on for, like, ever now. The biggest one, one of the two biggest things we're promoting is Phantom of the Woods, the feature that we started work on quite some time ago, and we're actually finally getting near release. We'll have more info for all you guys about that later, but we're getting close. But we've been pushing that because that's wrapped up. It's ready to go. And then we also are promoting Phobia, which is our web series, we made 10 episodes last year, and we've just released the first episode of the new season, which is airing exclusively on Horror Hive, which is kind of a channel that we've kind of partnered with St. James Films and Mike the Pike Productions on. Phobia is now an exclusive to that channel. And those are basically the projects we're promoting right now. We're also promoting The Stray, the feature that we're shooting right now. That's probably going to be released sometime next year. And Means to an End, which is the drama directed by Ryan Bozell. One of our primary composers. And The Stray was directed by Cam. He probably wouldn't forgive me if I didn't name drop him right there.
apparently he doesn't know what half of us do, so
apparently.
We don't properly introduce.
All right, so we talked a little bit about Phantom of the Woods. Last couple podcasts, we, you know, talked a little bit about that. But since we actually have the guys involved here, I want to kind of get your perspectives on what was it like getting all that stuff done, and what was the time frame like as far as shooting goes?
Well, I'll just do a breakdown of the rough timetable. We spent about 4 to 6 months writing a thing. And the writers in the project were myself, J.R. Storch here, my brother, Cam Clark, who you've heard many times, Ryan Webbeking, and Joe Leatherman. It was basically us in a room for a fall and a winter. I think it was the...
Fall of 2011.
Fall of 2011, and the winter of 2012 is when we were writing it. We did casting that spring, pre-production all summer, and we started shooting in August of 2012.
And that's when I joined in. According to Cam, you don't know what I do.
I know what you do, Austin.
for Phantom's project, I was mostly with sound and recording the such, and kind of a human Swiss Army knife. Yeah. I try to be mostly.
It was Bozell that brought you in, right?
Yeah,
or made the contact with you.
Ran into you. I had gotten out of college too much. Unsuccessful a little bit. But I was with my job currently, and through social networking and everything, I found Bozell commenting on a similar topic with somebody I had on there, added him, saw what he did, in Fort Wayne area, he's part of a production group, and growing up, it's just something I've always wanted to do. I'd grown up with stories of my family members that partake in Hollywood and film and stuff like that, and I've been always wanting to do it, and I found out about him. First day I met Bozell was on his birthday, and met about half of all
that
you
was
guys.
That was at Pizza Hut, right?
Yeah, good old
all of us.
Yeah, this podcast brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
and I met you guys for the first time, and I just basically just puppy dog it, and just asked you guys, you guys need help with anything, I would love it. You know, I'll carry shit, I don't care. And you're like, yeah, you know, go to this nature preserve, you know, and, you know, my first day there. And I ended up, at the end of the day, covered in fake blood, and I was the happiest kid on earth, man.
And kind of, and like how I am with, like, with new people, I'm generally like, you know, I'm kind of completely indifferent to the person until they've proven or not proven themselves, and you prove yourself as soon as you walked out of your car with your massive utility belt.
I had,
you have everything we need.
I spent the whole previous week just slamming. I got, you know, I got knee pads, I got belt, I got a big old tool bag, all the stuff I have never used or bought in my life. Got all of this because I was like, I am going to be prepared. And it was awesome. And we're out in the middle of the woods. We had covered Kenton. I was mostly just kind of just rounding up and just helping carry stuff. And then Kenton, who was the sound guy that day, he had to put on his nude suit.
Yeah.
To be a goddamn, like, amnesia-looking guy in the background covered in fake blood. And then that's when I got to do sound stuff that day. And then Jeremy got to put on the costume. And, like, one of my biggest memories is, like, you know, I mean, this is my first experience with anything, and it's my first experience now with indie filmmaking. And
with us, really.
Yeah, and with them. And we had to do a scene where our actress Delaney's against the tree, and the phantom guy's there. One of my very first photos is fucking Cam. He had the lion, because the way the angle was, he was just too short in the background. Cam had a lion's stomach.
Yeah. And
Jeremy
right
had to stand on him.
Yeah, Jeremy.
So in that scene where Delaney is against the tree and the phantom guy, he is standing on Cam Clark.
Yeah, you would be very surprised to know what is occurring off frame sometimes. Yeah. Some of the creepiest shots in the movie have ridiculous things happening just 2 feet away.
He was so pissed at me for that.
I was going to say, that was probably one of the best moments with Cam for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. And
it,
so,
it was your fault, though, Michael. I mean,
well, no, it wasn't my fault. It was the Hills' fault. What else were we going to do? There was nothing to stand on except for Cam.
Yeah. And then from then on, man, it was a ride,
maybe,
man.
If Jeremy was the height of Tyler Mane, then we'd be okay. But he's not. So he needed to stand up somewhere.
From then on, it was, you know, every week, man, it was with you guys, you know, interiors of George's house, or more of the wood stuff, or out in, around Spencerville area, filming out there too, filming the Scarecrow stuff, and using my car, my dear departed car, it makes an appearance, you know, is appearing in the film, the red Sable.
Oh, that was yours?
Yeah, that was my car. My car is in Phantom. That's what the douchebags are driving in the very beginning of the movie.
And they're Obama supporters.
The bombs are at the bottom. And my car is in episode 4 of the Phobia series, which is one I made for Innocence, where that's the car she goes to, and that's where the body's in.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that car's dead. So,
hey, it's immortalized, though.
Yeah, that car had more acting than me, so.
My old car is only immortalized in an old Halloween Mayhem short we made in high school, and it's gone now. It's the same color as you.
Yeah.
I think everyone's old car is that color.
Looks like our makeup girl is about to make an appearance.
No.
She's just here.
Anyways, to finish up the timetable for Phantom, so we were shooting for, as I said, we started in the fall of 2012, is that right?
2011.
Yeah. No, shooting.
No, I joined you guys August of 2012.
Okay.
And we
wrapped the January of 2013.
Yeah, January, February.
And
screw that winter and cold stuff, because I had to haul that stupid generator through those woods, too. That was not fun.
Yeah, that generator's not any fun. Our lights are battery powered now. That helps.
Yeah, gotta use that.
So, and then I spent... Our local premiere was the following June, and I pretty much spent that whole winter and spring doing editing.
My brother were slamming out
music like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd go to work too, and I had just been in that job for about a year now. I'm at some major retailer, and you know, I get to show them photos from my experiences. And they're like, oh, yeah, here's this creepy scarecrow, blah, blah, blah. Oh, here's the day where we stabbed that guy in the neck, and she's all bloodied up. God, it looks frightening as shit. And So that was the major thing too. I got to just always talk about that at work.
So as and far as
yeah, but as you were saying too, like we premiered it in June of the next year, and what was really awesome about just months later, our area where we live, the Fort Wayne area, they have a thing in the month of October for it's called a Downtown Fright Night, and they you know do zombie walks, they do all sorts. There's an old theater there, they do tours of, and we got to actually be a part of that and have a you know have a local film be screened. You know that was pretty cool actually. That was our first kind of dealing with kind of advertising in public a little mm-hmm. bit.
And really, Phantom was a project where we grew significantly. I think, like, we grew... When we did our previous short... Well, not our previous two shorts, Missing and Three, we grew a little bit. That's when we brought on Cam Clark. That's when we brought on Webby King. Before Missing, it was just basically myself, JRS here, Bozell, and Kenton Lay. And that was just the original nugget of the company. And then
four
after...
Four-man team.
Yeah. Then after wow. after Missing, we added on Webby King. Webby King actually he worked on Missing, but he did not become a part of the company officially until I think we shot Three and we brought him on to help write for Phantom.
I think that sounds about
yeah.
Right.
And but then Phantom that you know brought in Austin and. Who else did we bring on after that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Now,
it's so. Just I can't even keep up anymore.
Well, essentially, I mean,
so we're about.
That was our, well, I guess you could say now we, you know, Nate.
Correct. Nate. He wasn't. We brought Nate. He played. He plays Dustin in Phantom, and we didn't bring him on into the company until recently.
Yeah,
in terms of being in the company,
we have him in episode Phobia, and now he's an actor in our Stray mm-hmm. film. But like when it got towards the end of like all his parts, he was like, kind of just
you won't
meshed
work
in. Yeah, like you know, you're not acting anymore in this movie. You want to just stick around and just you know,
but yeah,
mess around.
But now where there's like you know, maybe there's about I think 15, 16 official members of OSP, and then we have another half a dozen or more people who regularly
yeah.
work for us.
And it's a good chunk of us all here.
So, yeah, I think there's 12
much.
Of us here.
Those hotel rooms are pretty comfy with 7 people in it.
Yeah.
I had my little corner on the floor. It was cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, La Quinta, and we violated your maximum occupancy policy.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're not listening to our podcast, so I have no fear of saying that.
I think there's a fire hazard there.
So, Jeremy, you were one of the lead actors in Phantom of the Woods. Could you tell us
I
a little
guess
about...
technically I was, yeah.
What was it like working for your brother?
So you can get some airtime here.
Well, okay, well, working for Michael's a bitch. That's probably...
You want to talk about a diva, man.
Okay.
I mean, part of half my job was appeasing and getting, you know...
The only thing the big thing to say about when it comes to working with Michael is that, somehow, I mean, when you don't have anything, any supplies you need, he'll make it work, including throwing motor oil. Was it motor oil?
Oh, yeah.
One day we were out of fake blood. We weren't out of it. I forgot it. And we were too far away to return. And we had brought the wrong shirt. He needed to wear his bloody shirt, but we brought his clean shirt. So we're like, well, we still got to shoot. So I took the leftover pizza and some motor oil, mixed them together, and rubbed it on his shirt.
That
and
was
it looked about as good as it
did. That was a cold night. That's,
but my brother's never forgiven me
for
making him smell like motor oil.
Yeah,
for a
that's
month.
The scene where he's on the ground lying there when they all get separated towards the very end, and he has to wake up.
All that spoilers.
Yeah.
Careful.
Nice.
Oh.
And that's why we're indie filmmakers. Pizza and motor oil.
You guys learned a little secret there.
That's
an
pretty impressive MacGyver, right?
Yeah,
there.
It was a MacGyver move, so it worked.
We are, that's just, yeah.
I don't know, I wasn't aware I was going to be acting when I was helped write this film.
Oh, really?
No, I had no idea. I wrote a lot of my own parts without knowing it.
Who could,
if I would have known.
Whose idea was it for you to audition, then?
I think I just did it because... Why
I feel like you and we expected you to audition. I think you intended to audition too, but you didn't necessarily expect to get it.
I don't even know what I was thinking at the time. But the fact is, I wrote most of my parts, and if I would have known I was acting as Jake, let's say I would have wrote it a little bit differently. Jake's not my favorite character in the world.
drank more Mountain Dew?
I drank a lot more Mountain Dew. No, it was all right. I mean, the whole process through making the film, because I didn't help out a screw as much because I was usually always acting.
Mm-hmm. Which was a benefit for you that time. He was like, I don't have to act today, so I don't have to go on set.
Yeah. I got that actor...
You get actor privileges.
Yeah, which are nice because you can really not do anything. And
yeah, now he's got...
Still be important.
Producer privilege on Straight, and it's kind of just like his acting now.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah,
I'm in charge.
Hey.
But no, yeah, The Phantom of the Woods, it was a hell of a long process, but...
Well, and then have you guys just got... It was originally called Oak.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
that was the original title. We originally called it Oak, and the reason it was called Oak is that the whole idea is based on this little idea I had years ago, which is in turn based on a little animated movie I made back in early high school.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And then I always wanted to make like a sequel to it, and it was going to be called, and I was going to make two sequels, and the whole trilogy was going to be called the Oak Trilogy, and it was going to have a whole bunch of little stories about Creepy Forest in it. But when we went to write the Creepy Forest, we said, okay, we're going to write a movie about a Creepy Forest. Use that original idea I had. It was called Oak. We thought that works, but as time went on, and this kind of with some discussions with our financer and all that, we were like, okay, we need to make a more marketable title.
Yeah.
And we spent, if anyone was in that chat for when we were trying to figure out a title, it was just like we had about 80 really bad suggestions and about a dozen. Semi-good ones, and then eventually
I just kept quiet. I said one or two titles every now and then. I did say Phantom of the Woods at one point, because Phantom of the Opera is my favorite
yes
opera musical.
It's not
play.
An opera, sorry, it's bullshit.
It can be an opera.
No.
Gabby.
Gabby's here, by the way.
Musical theater expert here. Come on. It is not an opera.
But
shots fired.
That wasn't actually a serious
please respond.
That wasn't a serious suggestion, Phantom of the Woods.
Yeah.
It was just me saying it, we picked it up and it works.
It's the only one most people were okay with.
Yeah.
Not everyone was okay with it. Won't name names. A few people really didn't like it. But everyone, it grew on everyone.
It grew on everyone.
And
I have to say that W on our title looks sexy.
Yeah,
that's what overwhelmed me.
As soon as I made the stylized version of the title, I was married to it. I love that. Looks great.
Now, what were some close runners up for the title?
Actually.
Do you remember?
I don't know. I can load up the whole chat, but
Rooted Evil.
Yeah, Rooted Evil. That was one.
That was one of mine.
Yeah.
Rooted Evil. Because I still like that title.
And there was a variety of, like, The Haunting of the Lake, or, I don't know. There was a bunch of the Lake titles that didn't work.
There was a lot of titles. That group chat sucked.
That would have been bad if they focused on the lake then.
But yeah, it was originally based off Gnomes, the animated, which I watched you make half the time
I
when
do.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do have to say, though, that's the thing. My whole experience with filming the thing, too. You know, come out and join us, help make a film. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Oh, yeah,
that's the thing. I never read, you know, a script or anything. The whole time I was there, I had no idea what the hell was going on. My first day there, Kenton's in a skin suit covered in blood. Okay. We have to take this gnome hat across the screen. I'm still like, okay, we'll do that. I have no idea what's going on.
And by the end of the shooting process, before you saw the script, I think I sent it to you sometime near the end. But were you able to piece together the plot, or when you finally read it or saw it, was it completely different than what you had in your head?
I don't know, man. Like I said, the gnome stuff, that's what threw me off at first, too. Like,
what the fuck's a gnome doing in here?
I honestly, like, that from that first day experience, I'm like, okay, we're having gnomes in this movie.
Yeah,
okay.
Another spoiler, there's gnomes.
Yeah.
So, just warning, it's hot, we're talking about it. This is a potential spoilery podcast, just so you know. If you don't want to be spoiled, shut this off. And we'll try our best.
I might splice in a thing at the beginning that says warning there.
Yeah.
Slight spoilers.
Because, I mean, and then I'd be there another, you know, that's from that day. And then, you know, because of scheduling, there'd be another day where, you know, it's a scene that takes a half hour or different from the other thing. And it may be like a dialogue heavy scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about, you know, something that happened that we haven't even filmed yet. And that's even more confusion added on top of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Writing through the process of Phantom, I
I think it was overall an enjoyable time. It just took a long time.
Yeah, it was very long
process.
Which,
any feature films take a while when you have a low budget. And
it was the first feature script for several of us.
It
actually,
was our first feature film.
Cam and Webb were the only ones who had written feature scripts before
now,
us when we started writing.
My question, too, like, for us being indie filmmakers and the what type of items and what we have at our disposal, when you're writing scripts, too, with the ideas and locations or what you're having taking place, do you write that in mind of places you know you have access to? So is that what you write around? Or do you write something
like,
that you will, you know, potentially try to get to? Because, like, we got to write about a house that's by a lake.
Let's just say...
Do we know somebody with a house by a lake, you know?
At one point in the script, there was an exploding car.
Really?
So... Yes,
all
right,
that's how we should have ended
this,
my
this
car.
Is
how
Austin, we need your car.
the movie, we wrote it based on what we thought we were gonna have, and then things changed.
When Lord has just walked by, so. I'm fangirling. Okay,
stop that. Anyway,
okay, sorry.
Fangirling.
Yeah, I'm fangirling.
So we basically wrote based on what we thought we could do, and some of that panned out, some of it panned out better than we thought, some of it just didn't work out, like the exploding car, and we had to maybe crash that car into a tree half-heartedly instead.
That idea of a car, you know, hitting somebody, you know, you ride with that, and that was cool how we pulled that off, too.
Yeah.
Oh, camera! It's all camera tricks.
Who would have been running from like the exploding car? Like, what was the setup for that?
The thing about that scene, without telling anyone what that scene's about, I'll just do the process. Joe wrote that scene, actually.
Wrote about the exploding car.
And it actually worked out. It was written really well, but this happens a lot. Your location changes things. Like, when you actually get there, you look at what you got, and sometimes you just got like, okay, this can't really play out the way we wrote it. Let's kind of modify some stuff. Like, there's actually another scene in Phantom that's supposed to have tall grass in it, and we forgot to tell the guy not to mow his grass, and he did. So we had to completely rework the scene. It's not at all the way it was in the script. So that happens a lot. Sometimes it's almost identical. And usually that's the indoor location, so you have total control over your location.
Right, I mean...
Once you lose some control, you often have to modify the script. But that's no big deal, because then you get some spontaneous stuff you didn't think of when you were in the writing room.
Yeah, when I actually partaked and wanted to give you guys an idea for my phobia, I knew that I was going to be, you know, setting this up in an office place and then setting up in a garage. I knew, well, we're at an office, yeah. Oh, there's, you know, the garage down the street at the university. You know, it's 10 o'clock at night. No one's going to give a crap. We go there and, you know, this is what I want to get from this part to this part and show what happens. We're guerrilla-ing it. We're just going to film this garage and see what happens. You know, that was actually pretty easy to write about. And, like, when you have these other phobias, like, we have an entire haunted house to our disposal. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. We can take advantage of that. As we do in, which episode is that one for, I mean, it was the vampire, but I can't remember the title.
Shadow Puppets.
Shadow Puppets. Yeah, one of the local haunted houses that's around the Fort Wayne area, you know, let us
now
use their
known
facility.
As Hysterium, just to plug them, because they're helping us out this year, too. So, if you live in Fort Wayne, go to Hysterium. It's on the, you know, out in the Jefferson Point-ish area. I'll look them up. They're pretty cool cats.
Well, didn't they used to be the haunted cave?
They used to be a haunted cave. If you've ever been to the haunted cave, they're now known as Hysterium this year. So, you know. It's probably a good segue into phobia.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is our other one. We
kind of wanted to touch on the phobia. So, guys, where did the idea originally come from for phobia?
Mr. Brother?
Oh, man. That's a complicated question. Well, I guess rooted down, I've always wanted to create a horror show, because I grew up watching Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, awesome,
you know, with
shows.
Michael, Tales from the Crypts,
yeah.
X-Files, Twilight Zone. That was always my thing. So when was the first phobia released, Michael? Michael's on his phone.
Sorry.
Nice. God.
We're running a booth. I just have to make sure everything's fine. All right, we're good.
We're going to go back and it's on fire.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, oh, God.
Cam's like, something went wrong.
All the cameras were stolen.
The neon sign just exploded.
Oh, God.
Oh, that'd be sad. No, we actually have a literal open sign that looks identical to our logo. That's what it's based off of.
I'm sure our neighbors hate us, though. The ones across from us, we're fucking blinding them for 3 days in a row. They
if they
hate
can't
us.
If they can't take neon, then they should get the fuck out.
Wow. Anyways,
I know you watch horror movies. And,
Michael Stores just don't give a shit.
Michael
Stores
just got mean. No, I was saying, when was the first Phobia released? I can't even remember.
You made it. It was released the spring before the Phantom premiere, so it would have been the
right,
spring
because,
of 2013.
We showed an episode before. Okay, so it was leading up to the Halloween episode, yeah. our second one with the mask character. So we had right. a good number of them before that.
But yeah, so that original idea, I mean, I used to, you know, if you go on the internet and you read creepypastas or
right, and that's
you know,
that's
scary.
The very first episode,
right,
was based on creepypasta.
So pretty much that first episode was more on it was a pilot. It was experimental. Michael and I got a camera, got an actress, and we went out and we shot something in a day, and we saw how it turned out, which I think it turned out well.
It's several of our longest fans. That's our favorite episode.
Yeah, so
several of them.
But the ideas come from so the shows that I grew up on. And I think, Michael, you created the title Phobia. You came up with that. And then from there, we've just built up, and now we just released our newest episode about 2 days ago.
Midnight Madness.
Which, yeah. The name is mostly, I mean, of several things. I mean, Midnight Madness is a common term. I mean, that's used for, midnight showings.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it.
But for me, that is a direct reference to the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, because that's kind of what that episode's like. If you've ever watched Tale of the Midnight Madness, Nosferatu comes out of the fucking movie screen and terrorizes people. So we took our puppeteer character, who we had two episodes for him last year, we kind of wanted to do the same thing. The whole idea behind Midnight Madness, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's kind of a, horror movie guy comes out of the screen type of thing. So yeah, if you want to never go to a movie theater again, go watch this movie. It'll be great.
Yeah, I hope that never happens to me in a movie theater. That would probably suck.
Yeah.
So check it out. And Phobias now will be on our new channel, which I don't know, have we talked about?
And it's great too, like I said, when I talk about it at work, and most of the people know, I've made a reputation out of, like, I go and kill people on the weekends, too. That's kind of how I advertise it. It's cool, too, because, I mean, we've got the movie we have to advertise, and that goes through a bunch of, filters and agreements and everything. But this Phobia is great. Just, like, one, the biggest thing I love out of it gives us, I love the practice. Yeah. I love it. And the second best thing is getting content out there and building an awesome fan base. And that, if I can't show my movie to my family who's all across the way, United States, in like Phoenix or something, I can just get my website. That's just awesome. They finally get to see something I've got to do. And I'm so happy about it.
I mean, that's why I jumped on the idea when Jeremy brought it up, because that was my thing. There's features take a long time. By the time Phantom's released here soon, it's going to be the whole process will have been about 3 years.
Yeah.
Stray's going to be a little shorter, probably around 2, and that's probably going to be normal for all the features going on, probably about a 2-year turnaround time. That's a long time, and I didn't want people to forget about us between movies. So it's like, we need some web content. We need to do some stuff online.
It's great.
And it's working out exactly the way we wanted it to. And actually, it's more than we wanted it to, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the general point of creating it. So I'm happy how it's turning out so far.
Yeah, and still got a lot of cool ideas. And because and everybody listening to it too, I hopefully will aware of, with our previous episode released this past week, we are planning on releasing an episode every week now this year until Halloween. That's about 9 episodes coming out, and that's all. I mean, this first episode was about how long? About 6 minutes. And
six and a half.
These next ones are gonna be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or whatever.
And then we'll have a few closer to 5 minute ones near the end, but that's kind of, and each one's kind of hidden on a different concept or a different subgenre. So first one's an 80s slasher, basically. But like the third, not the episode coming out next week, but the one after, that one's kind of a horror comedy. We got a clown one. For anyone who likes clowns, we got some clowns coming. So look forward to that. You've heard it here first. Clowns.
Yeah, clowns. Fuck clowns.
Oh, not those kind of clowns. more like haunted house, insane asylum clowns.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Where are we at on time here?
Da. I don't know.
Probably what, 30?
Yeah.
About around 30. All right. Yeah. Well, guys, I think we found a good place to wrap up here.
Yeah, just so far we got.
Yeah. This is kind of going to be the format. We're going to kind of rotate everybody. We want to get everybody's voices from the company, try to get different experiences, different perspectives from everybody. So thanks, guys.
I can't wait till we have a round table discussing a horror, because so many of us have had awesome experiences of just really cool celebrities here that were with us. Yeah. Awesome booths that have just been everywhere. The people here have been great.
Yeah. And meeting the rectangle table here before us.
No.
Do you have something against the rectangle table here before us?
Yeah, it's a fucker.
Other than the wind. No.
No, they're fine.
Hate this table.
And meeting other indie filmmakers too.
Yeah, it's been a great networking opportunity.
Yeah, it's been neat to make connections there.
Yeah, we met some cool people from Cincinnati who are kind of almost just like us. They just got their first Black Magic.
There was a group that's from Maine. They're here, screening a movie too, and that was really neat.
All right.
But next episode, we'll kind of go into more of the people we met and the experiences that we had.
Fangirl.
Yeah, we'll let you fangirl, Austin. All righty. Well, this is Christian Nash signing off for this week.
All right, J.R.S. Storch.
Austin Gray.
Michael Storch.
I'm still on the ride.
Okay.
Gabby's not here.
Yeah, that was Gabby. All right, we'll see you next time, everybody.